Well, good evening. It's good to be with you. I'm certainly grateful for the opportunity that the Lord has given us to be here. I will not belabor the point, but there are some things on the back table that I would like you to take advantage of and avail yourself of, if you would, please. Of course, we have prayer cards. Every missionary's got a prayer card, right? And you can use it for a dartboard. You can use it for whatever suits you. There's a brochure on the back. If God has led you to pray specifically about a certain part of the world, what we've done is we've actually divided the world up according to the Islamic population. God's people ought to be people of prayer, and we ought to be people that have God's heart for the lost. And so we've taken countries of the world, divided them up, very informative brochure. I trust that you'll take that. On the back table also is a little bit of an introductory brochure that I would like you to take. And then all the boys and girls, or if you're a boy and girl at heart, that's okay as well. All the boys and girls, we have a special brochure just for you. And there are two characters in here that would like to invite you to join them to go around the Middle East through this brochure. On the back, there's a special little place you can check off some hidden things inside the brochure. And you can go on a hunt and you can go find them. And so I hope all the boys and girls will get that. There's also a DVD on the back. And on the back table, and if you would like to take all of those are absolutely free. I do not need to check those in my bag to Jordan. So please get rid of them. You'll help me greatly. There's also a back table that I would like to make available. It is $20, 20 Canadian dollars. It is a reprint of a book that was printed in 1922, written by a man named Basil Matthews, and he had written these stories, and we have excerpted these stories from his book and reprinted them. And it is Missionary Tales from Muslim Lands. I know of nothing like that for children, of little older children, certainly not young children, but it would be very, very good read, not just for children, but for teenagers and adults. It's inspiring to think of what God has done in the past and dream of what he could do in the future if God's people would be obedient. Let us pray together. And we will look into the Word of God. I've been asked to place a certain emphasis tonight, and with the help of the Lord, I would like to do that with His help, and we need Him to meet with us. I understand to whom I am speaking tonight. I'm speaking to the cream of the crop, the best of the best, the servants of the Lord, and I'm honored, I'm humbled that I get the opportunity to speak to you, and I appreciate you. There are many of you, all of you are more capable than I, and we are grateful for this opportunity. But I am asking the Lord to open our hearts and open our minds to a certain group of people and certain portions of the world. And part of those people have come to our doorsteps, and God's people ought to be people that know how to reach them. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father, we thank you for this night, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into your word for just a few minutes. And I pray that by the Spirit of God and by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would have our hearts stirred for the lost, that we would see people the way you see them. And I ask that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his power, we ask these things. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to direct your attention to a very familiar story. One of the most familiar stories in all of Scripture. And as soon as I say the book of the Bible, you're going to have certain ideas that you think about this story. So I would like to direct your attention to the book of Jonah. Even as I say that name, so many of us have heard the story of Jonah growing up as children and studying this story. And God has used this story in my heart and in my life to stir me up about what could be done among Muslim people. You see, the truth is the heart of God is for all people. And the heart of God is that those without Him would come to know Him. I'd like to begin in the book of Jonah in chapter 1. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now if you could search the ancient world and find the most wicked city in human history, this city, Nineveh, would be in the running for that award. The truth is, Nineveh was one of the most evil, wicked, debauched cities ever in human history. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and God spoke to Jonah. And God said to Jonah very directly, arise and go to Nineveh. God gave Jonah a clear command and he says to Jonah, cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Can you imagine a city so wicked, so given to evil, that the Creator, God of heaven, says to his prophet, their wickedness has come up before me and something must be done. This is the city of Nineveh. Now we won't get too deep into the details, but the truth is Nineveh delighted and loved evil. They would take their victims and gather them. They would take the dead bodies and lop the heads off of the dead bodies. They would take the prisoners that would surrender and they would take them and gather them together and cut their heads off until the blood flowed everywhere. They would take those heads and gather them together and decorate their city and create beautiful, what they thought, beautiful decorations in piles of heads around the city. They would take the heads of their victims and they would skewer them on giant posts and set them up like signposts or light posts around the city of Nineveh. Can you imagine what the children grew up seeing? Can you imagine the debauched, evil, wickedness going through the minds of these sinful people? Anything that a wicked mind could come up with, Nineveh was good at doing. They had perfected the art of doing evil. By the way, sinners are good in it. The truth is, the root with so many people deal in our world, and as us in the ministry, so often we try to deal with the fruit when really we ought to be people that deal with the root of the matter. You see, the root of the matter is not a religion. The root of the matter is not something that somebody does. The root of a matter is a sinful, evil, wicked heart that is separated from God. And God says the wickedness of this city is come up before him. They would take people and they would boil them alive in oil and literally cook them alive. They knew how to cut a person while they were alive and cut them in such a way that they could peel the skin off of their body while that person was alive. The truth is, the Ninevites were evil, wicked, wicked people. And God said to Jonah, their wickedness has come up before me. Their wickedness got the attention of God. And by the way, God is not going to tolerate sin. He is not going to allow sin to continue. And the truth is, this city got the attention of God. But I want you to see and consider, first of all, tonight, the heart of God. The heart of God. When God saw Nineveh, what did he see? When God saw Nineveh and those evil, wicked people, what did he see? What was God's heart towards those people? And I will hasten to say that the heart of God is that those evil, wicked people would come to know him. So guess what he did? He called a prophet. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Can you imagine wherever Jonah must have been? I don't know where he was, but the Bible says God said to him, arise. So he must have been sitting somewhere. Maybe he was lounging under a palm tree drinking date juice. I have no idea. But God said to Jonah, there is a need. There is a city, a wicked city that needs to hear my message. And so he called his prophet. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. God said to Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. God's heart was after a city that they would come to know him. And God's heart was that that group, that city of lost people would come to believe in him. And so he called a prophet. Now we're going to come back and deal with Jonah here in just a moment. But the truth is, we all know what happened, don't we? God said to Jonah, arise and go. And what did he do? He arose, but he didn't go where God said. He arose. The Bible says Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine? Here goes the prophet. He jumps to his feet, and instead of running to what God has given him, he runs away from what God has given him. Three times the Bible says he's running from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, Jonah thought he was running from Nineveh, but he wasn't running from Nineveh. He was running from the presence of the Lord. And any time we are not doing what God has given us to do, we are not running from that thing. We are running from God. The Bible says that Jonah goes down to Joppa. He pays the fare, and he goes down into the ship. But notice what happens in verse 4. They set sail. Here goes the ship out on its journey, and the Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God's heart. Can you see God's heart for a lost city? Can you see God's heart for a wicked, evil, debauched group of people? But God's heart was that they come to know Him. So He called a prophet. What did His prophet do? His prophet disobeyed. And when His prophet disobeyed, what did God do? God sent a wind. This is the heart of God. You see, the heart of God is not just for a lost city that they would come to know Him. God's heart is that His prophet would simply obey. You see, God was after a city, but God was also after the heart of His prophet. God was desirous that Jonah would have God's heart for the people of Nineveh. And so He sent the storm. He sent that great wind which caused the storm. You see, God could have just killed Jonah and wiped Jonah off the face of the map and be done with Jonah. But that's not the heart of God. God's heart was that a city would come to know Him. And God's heart was that His prophet would simply obey. We see the heart of God in the sending of His prophet. We see the heart of God in the sending of this great wind. The Bible says the mariners were afraid. Can you imagine this storm beating the ship about? This mighty tempest beating the ship about so badly that it was like to be broken. The mariners, these seasoned sailors, these ocean-faring men who are used to storms, become so afraid. And they begin to cry unto His God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship under the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. Here's the most dangerous time in the lives of these men. It looks like it's all over. And what is the man of God doing? He's sleeping. The old black preacher in the South was preaching on Jonah and he said, when you're running from God, you go down, down, down. And this is where Jonah was, down. Here he is fast asleep in the sides of the ship. The shipmaster comes to him and says to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think on us that we perish not. Even the heathen wicked sailors knew time to pray. They needed something, knew they needed something. And what was God's man doing? He was sleeping. God's prophet, the man that was sent, called of God, led of God, he was sleeping. The Bible says, they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and see the heart of God. The lot fell upon who? Jonah. What was God's heart? God's heart was for a lost city, so He called a prophet. When that prophet disobeyed, God demonstrated yet again His heart and sent out a great wind. God demonstrated His heart again when the men gathered together and cast lots, and guess where the lot fell? Now, I don't understand all of that, and so if you have a theological question about casting lots, you can ask your preacher. I'm sure he'd be able to answer it better than me, right? Some of you theologians in here could probably give me a better answer, but the truth is I know this. God was after Jonah. And the lot was cast and fell on Jonah. Here, all the eyes of these seasoned, toughened mariners turn to the preacher, to the prophet. And then they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm and unto us? For the sea is wrought and tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Are you on that ship? See those men as they in vain cast the wares over the boat, over the side of the boat? Can you see them as they row hard and they exert every human effort to combat what God had sent and it didn't work? But when they did what God's man said to do, the sea became calm. I put myself in this story and I put myself in Jonah's Jerusalem cruisers as they pick him up and they heave him over the side of the boat, and he lands with a smack on the water, and the sea goes quiet. And it seems that the story would be all over. That's the end of the prophet. That's the end of the man of God. But we see again the heart of God. I think it's very interesting. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. But we see the heart of God again in verse 17. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." Do you see the heart of God? What was God's heart? God's heart was for a lost city. And so he called a prophet. When that prophet disobeyed, God's heart was demonstrated in that he sent out a great wind. When they cast lots, we see again the heart of God because the lot fell on Jonah. We see the heart of God because God lovingly and kindly and gently, in long-sufferingness, he prepared a great fish to swim by just at the right time. Now, Jesus said it was a whale. We don't know what kind of whale. That's what Jesus said. And here comes this big giant whale, and he gulps up the prophet and swallows him. The Bible says, "And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now we've got some children in here. Maybe, boys and girls, you like slip and slides. Do you like slip and slides in summer? You get that plastic wet and you put the soap on it and you run as fast as you can and you land on it and you go slipping and sliding. Can you imagine the slip and slide down the mouth of a whale and you land in the belly of a whale? Yucky. But this is where the prophet of God found himself. Why? Because he was running from God. And God's heart was that a city would be reached. And God's heart was that his prophet would simply obey. The heart of God. For 3 days and three nights, Jonah's in the belly of this whale. And verse 1 of Jonah chapter 2, the Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." I would think that's what he would be doing. There isn't much time for anything else. I'd be getting right with God, wouldn't you? And he said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy hill. By the way, salvation is always by faith, and faith is in a simple look, looking unto Jesus. And wherever we are in life, our call is to people to look and to live. Jonah looked. He looked toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah got right with God. We see again the heart of God in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says this: and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We see the heart of God. The heart of God was after a city, and he called a prophet. He sent a great storm or a great wind. He allowed the lots to fall on Jonah, and Jonah was found out. God prepared the fish, and now God has spoken to the fish, and he says to the fish, go deposit Jonah where he belongs. And his belly rumbled, and his tummy grumbled, and he vomited Jonah up on dry land. Have you ever made a sugar cookie? Jonah was the sugar cookie of all time. He landed on that dry land and he comes rolling up, and I can imagine what he looked like. He looked like a mess. He's pulling seaweed out of his ears. He's pulling seaweed out of his hair. He's pulling seaweed out of his sandals. This guy's a mess, but he's alive. What is the heart of God? The heart of God is for that city. And the heart of God is that his prophet would have his heart for that city. We see again the heart of God in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God's heart was that Jonah would simply obey. And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Creator God of heaven and earth speaking twice? But yet he did. He lovingly, gently said to Jonah, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. What was the heart of God? The heart of God was that city, that city would hear his message. So he called his prophet. When his prophet disobeyed, he sent a great wind, which caused a storm. And the heart of God was after a city and after his prophet to simply obey. And so he caused a lot to fall on Jonah. The heart of God was after the city and after his prophet to simply obey. And so when the men cast him over the sea, the Lord prepared a great fish. We see again the heart of God, that the fish vomited Jonah up on the dry land. We see the heart of God in the second, the God of the second chance. We see the heart of God yet again as we continue reading. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And we see the heart of God. So the people of Nineveh believed God. This is the heart of God. That this city would simply believe. The Bible says they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even the least of them. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. What was the heart of God? It was God's heart was that this city would simply believe. We see again in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. And I say unto you, God is not angry and vicious and waiting in heaven, longing and yearning to drop a lightning bolt or bring down the heavenly hammer on somebody's head. The heart of God is that all people everywhere come to know Him, from the most evil person your mind can conceive to what we might term the best of the best. God's heart is that all men would come to know Him. The truth is, as a 5-year-old boy laying in my bed one night, I had to be saved from my goodness. And I, the older I get, the longer I live, the more I grow in the Lord, the more I understand His heart is for all people. And there is no difference of that wicked, evil person and me, except Jesus. And God's heart is that all people come to know Him. I'm going to come back and deal with the prophet in just a moment, but the prophet gets mad. I cannot imagine. But the prophet gets mad. And he goes out and he sits on the east side of the city. We see again the heart of God in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 4. The Lord said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" God says to Jonah, "Are you doing well to be angry about what has happened?" The Bible says he goes to the east side of the city and he makes a booth. In verse 6, we see again the heart of God. The Lord God prepared a gourd. We see again the heart of God. God prepared a worm in verse 7. Verse 8, God prepared a vehement east wind. What is God doing? He's trying to deal with His prophet to help His prophet understand His heart for this city. But His prophet missed it. The heart of God. Again in verse 9, he continues to deal with Jonah and he says, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he says, "I do well to be angry even unto death." What is the heart of God? It is that a city would be saved and that His prophet would simply obey. That His prophet would have His heart for the lost city. I don't think anywhere in this entire passage of Scripture we see the heart of God anymore. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 10, "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" God says to Jonah, "Why shouldn't I spare them? Why shouldn't I show my mercy?" As we ask the wrong question so often. Why should we send a worker or a missionary to some foreign land? Why should we send somebody with the gospel to places like Iraq and Yemen and Saudi Arabia and Indonesia and China and Mexico and South America, these places where they don't even want God? We ask the wrong questions. We say, "Why would we?" And God says, "Why not?" Because His heart beats and yearns and longs for people to know Him. But it's not just good for those outside of the boundaries of North America. Why shouldn't God spare these beautiful towns nestled among these mountains in this beautiful part of the world? Why shouldn't God send His messenger? And why shouldn't God spare them? God delights. He longs for people from these cities all around us to come to know Him personally. God's heart. What is the heart of God? It is that the lost would receive His message and that they would believe. The heart of God. Let's consider a second thing. Go back with me, if you would please, to Jonah chapter 1. Again, the word of the Lord came into Jonah, verse 1, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Put yourself where Jonah is. I don't know where he was, but he was sitting and he was doing something, and the word of the Lord came to him. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a pretty straight home. When my father spoke, we didn't have much option. I see children today in the grocery stores out and about, and they're throwing a tantrum like a turtle on their back, kicking and screaming. Daddy are leaning over, "Oh, Johnny, would you please just get up? I'll be glad to give you whatever you want." And I'm going, "Really? I had options growing up like similar to that. My option was you either obeyed or you die. The truth is, you can imagine what would happen had I not obeyed. I remember one time I was standing and I mouthed off to my mother. And we were walking. I was walking behind my father and I thought I had grown up and had big britches on. And I mouthed off to my mother. My father whipped around. My father's really big and tall and strong, unlike me. I got big somewhere. It's all the good Middle Eastern food. He turned around and he buried his finger in my chest. I thought it went through. I thought he had grabbed my spine and pulled it out my front. He said, "If you ever speak to your mother again that way, I can't finish it because somebody might get after him." But the fear of God was in me. Here's the question. What would cause Jonah to hear the voice of God and to look God in the face and say no? The preacher, the man of God, he jumps up from where he is and he rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Three times it is said he is fleeing from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 1, the second time. And God comes back to Jonah and says, "Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Jonah began to walk. He began to trudge that long journey. And if you know anything about the geography of the land, he didn't come up right near Nineveh. But somewhere between the valley and rolling out onto that beach alive and the city of Nineveh, something happened. He got to thinking. The truth is, as Jonah began to walk, he goes into this city in verse 3. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It's a big city, a large city. Some people believe it took 3 days to go around the city. Some believe it took 3 days to go through the city and see all the sights. I don't know. But I know it was a big city. And I know this. The Bible says Jonah entered into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. Have a nice life. Goodbye." An 8-word message in English. A very short message. And I don't see the heart of God in this message. I see the hatred of the prophet. What was wrong with him? You know the story. The Bible says the whole city believed God. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil they had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. You would think the preacher would be happy. But notice what happened in verse 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Can you imagine the preacher? He didn't have a lot of sermon prep. He had a lot of background going into the sermon. But he didn't have a lot of preparation for that 8-word message. And he goes into the city. He delivers this pitiful message. And the whole city believes. And it makes him angry. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with Jonah? He says in verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." The prophet said it's better for him to die than to watch these people believe. Chapter 4 and verse 5, Jonah goes out on the east side of the city and he makes himself a booth and he sits under the shadow of it so he can watch the city till he would see what would become of the city. He sat on the east side of the city and he hoped and he longed and he dreamed and prayed that God would destroy Nineveh. What has happened? What is wrong with the prayer? He says, The Bible says God prepares the gourd, God prepares the worm, God prepares the vehement east wind. And Jonah, the sun beats on his head, and Jonah wished in himself to die. In verse 8, and says, it is better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. What's wrong with the man of God? The truth is, the man of God had missed the heart of God. And the man of God had allowed hatred and prejudice and pride to destroy him. The whole city believes, and he's angry. He says to God, I knew that thou art a gracious God. I knew you were merciful. I knew you were anger, and I knew you were of great kindness, and I knew you would repent of the evil. I knew you would do this. You see, when Jonah saw Nineveh, he did not see Nineveh the way God saw Nineveh. When Jonah saw Nineveh, Jonah saw evil, wicked, nasty people that did not deserve God's mercy. Jonah looked at Nineveh and said, they do not deserve God's graciousness. They don't deserve God to be slow to anger. They don't deserve the kindness of God. They don't deserve for God to repent of the evil. They don't deserve it. You know what Jonah forgot? Neither did he. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he goes through this evil list of sinful behavior, and he comes to the end of it, and he says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, justified, you're sanctified. The truth is, so often God's people look around our world, and we look at certain groups of people, and we look at how evil they are, and we don't look with the heart of God. We look at their wickedness, and we miss the heart of God. We look at Muslims and we think they're evil, and we think they need to be destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth. And we forget that except for Jesus Christ, I would be exactly like Osama bin Laden. The truth is, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of the ISIS caliphate, has nothing on Stephen, because Stephen has been given great light. And the truth is, we sin against such great light. But these people, when they heard, they believed. And Jonah missed one of the greatest movings of God in a lost city ever in human history because of his hatred. Because he did not see them the way God saw them. Jonah missed the heart of God. The heart of God, the hatred of the prophet. But I say unto you, let's go to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5 again. The Bible says, Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 5, the word of God says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Consider with me just for a moment the hearing of the people. Notice what happened. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came into the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Can you imagine the king in that part of the world? Honor is a big thing and shame is a big problem. The king of Nineveh arose from his throne, took off his robes, and laid his robes aside. The king. I want you to consider with me the hearing of the people. God took a prophet that missed his heart, gave a pitiful message, but they believed. The whole city believes. The whole city turns and cries mightily unto God. And I ask you, could it be that just some of the hardest people in the world that we think are the hardest are the most ripe and the most ready to receive God's message? Could it be that God is doing His greatest work in the darkest hours of some people's lives? We look at certain situations around the world and we think that's an impossible situation, but God is at work. Those are impossible people, but God is at work. And if God's people would get God's heart and see those people the way God sees them, God can use us to deliver His message, and He can reach us, a lost people, for Himself. The truth is, Jonah missed the heart of God. I grew up as a little boy in New Jersey. Don't hold that against me. I grew up in New Jersey, and my boyhood pastor got a burden. He got saved out of a motorcycle gang, and he was a drywaller, and he went and studied for a little while, got stirred up for the Lord, was serving at a church, and came back to New Jersey to start a church. Small church when our family joined. And I remember as a little boy meeting in a rented building, an old Methodist building, a facility that wasn't even ours. We had to be in by a certain time and out by a certain time, very limited. I remember as a little boy, though, watching as God began to work in the hearts of the people of that community. I remember watching motorcycle gangs pull up, and men on motorcycles and women on motorcycles pull their motorcycles up in this beautiful chrome row in front of the church building. And these old rough and tough people would swing off their bikes and all marked up and looking really rough. And they'd get into their saddlebags and pull out a Bible. And they'd go into the church building and hear the preaching of the Word of God. And God changed lives. Why? Because somebody learned to see the way God saw. And the truth is, those of us who are here, as we are servants of God, pastors and missionaries, Christian laymen, wherever God has you, God's heart is for a lost world. But God's heart is that you and I would have His heart and simply be obedient. And the question for us tonight is, do you have the heart of God? Or if we become so consumed looking at the fruit that we miss the root? Do we have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof? You see, when God's people have God's heart, they won't have to be cajoled or begged or pleaded with to serve the Lord and to do what God has clearly given us to do and left us on this earth to do. God's heart is for a lost world. God's heart is that people all around Canada come to know Him. He's placed you where He's placed you for a purpose. Do you have His heart? Do I have God's heart? May God help us to have His heart. Now, you want to know the conclusion of the kicker in this whole story? Do you know where ancient Nineveh is located? It's the modern-day city of Mosul, Iraq. It's the seat of the ISIS caliphate. And I just believe if somebody would get God's heart and take His message to a lost people, a hard people, people that may seemingly not want it, I believe if God did it once, I believe He could do it again. It just takes people that have His heart. God can do His work. He doesn't need us. He used Jonah. But His desire is that you and I would be people that have His heart. And it's so easy to walk around and look at the women in the burqas or the women in the niqabs or dressed and not acting the right way, and we get upset and we get offended. And we forget that they're just sinners doing what they're supposed to do. Evil. We open the newspaper in our Western world and we read of all of the evil. And we get so distracted by that that we forget that they just need Jesus. May God help us to be people that have his heart. Preacher.